Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to Star Trek Canasto, a Klingon version of Star Trek Adventures using the rules by Modiphius Entertainment. My name is ELH the Game Master, and joining me are four lovely individuals who will meet right away because I think Donut has to run and do some stuff with laundry. So we'll start with Steadfast Pig. Anything you want to shout out and who you playing?
I'm doing good. Nice week down here in sunny, cold springtime Georgia. I'm playing Akroc, old general man who kind of oversees security and whatnot on the Canasto. And I'm excited. We're almost to Seg One, right? That's happening.
You're actually in Seg One today.
Let's go.
So you have finally arrived.
Beautiful. Or segue.
Man, you beat me to it. Damn.
You knew someone was gonna.
You got me.
Kern, what do you got going on?
Hey, I play Captain Dagon, and looking forward to some action.
Oh, there's definitely going to be action for sure.
Nice.
I thought there might.
Yeah, there's a little bit. You know what? I'm not gonna spoil the mystery. You're just gonna find out. Donut, what do you got going on?
I'm Captain Canas, and I will hopefully not have to decapitate any of my underlings this week, for trying to think they're better than me and, you know, usurp the med bay. You know, details. I also will have to probably do some honorable laundry in a few minutes.
There you go. Listen, you know, somebody's got to
go
do
down
it.
Again.
That's true, yeah. And unlike the Canasto, I don't have the underlings.
That's it.
It's
no
just
crew.
Me. No, my cats can't do it. They don't have opposable thumbs.
Well, now I'm curious. What does a Klingon janitor look like? Are they the most honorable profession, or
they're called Bix?
Yeah. Oh Lord! And last but not least, Mon Jadin.
Everybody, Mon Jadin with Colonel Mori and his band of singing lawyers, the Judge Advocates, got some good-ass Klingon operatic acapella and five-part harmony that we're going to throw at the ship, whether they want to hear it or not. It's going to be really great. Party on.
Your plugs, please.
It would be dishonorable to not want to hear it, I'd say.
Now, see, committing to the bit would mean actually hiring an acapella group and just getting them a mic one time.
No, that would be cool.
I mean, I do know enough vocalists.
Yeah.
Mon and I are definitely not among them, but I know enough people who actually know how to sing.
I'm going to spoil his...
If you're threatening, I can pull out my guitar and poorly accompany every word I say.
Oh, God. All right, we're going to go to the opener before he pulls out his guitar.
Exactly.
And welcome back. So, since this is the first arrival of the Canasto within the Seg One universe galaxy, I thought I would have Admiral Zarek do the opening log.
Nice.
So, Admiral Zarek's personal log, Klingon Daitch. You know, computer, set a time reference index of 1400. And set that to be our first official stardate within the Seg One universe. And the computer chirps and does the Klingon klaxon of confirmation. And Zark continues, "We have finally arrived in the Seg One galaxy after several months of travel. And our first arrival is quite a fortuitous one. We have encountered a star system simply known as S1JYG-01. It's not the most original naming scheme in the world, but Klingons aren't exactly known for our, shall we say, colorful names like Starfleet. In any event, the system has binary stars as well as a super Earth style Class M planet that might be suitable for colonization and conquering. I have given permission for all away teams and all ships to depart the Hanasto to begin exploring this system and the greater area surrounding the system. I do hope that we find a number of resources, and perhaps this can be our first foothold within the Seg-1 galaxy. End log. And what we see is we see a shot of the Hanasto, and we kind of do something similar to what we see in the intro, where the hangar bays all open up, and we see the Negvar, the Mangholm. We also see the two birds of prey, the Nutka and the Vestarg. Those all depart, as well as a veritable swarm of smaller shuttles, worker bees, like anything that can launch out of the Hanasto is being launched. And not just towards the super Earth planet that we see kind of stage right, as it were, but we also see that repairs are going on the Hanasto. They're double checking the hull for any problems after the long travel at warp. So there's a lot going on in the system. But what matters is you. Yeah, everything's busy. But what matters is you all are actually aboard a smaller shuttle, and you are headed towards the northern continent on the ground of the Super Earth system, Super Earth planet. God, I am just all over the place today.
Wow.
Yeah, you could tell this is going to be a really fun session when your GM can't string three words together.
Looks like your time is a little lacking. It's okay.
Yeah.
Looks like the players are going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. But you're headed towards the northern continent. It does look to be a very interesting color. Like maybe you were expecting blues and greens and maybe some browns, some little earth. Instead, you're seeing lots of reds and lots of pinks and lots of yellows. So it's definitely a very exotic looking planet. And as your shuttle angles towards one of the forests in the northern continent, what you realize very quickly as you look out the view screen is that the forests are massive. And when I say massive, I'd like you to imagine the redwood trees, God, that are in California. So you know the big, like, super, like, car-sized trunks that are, like, hundreds of feet tall. Imagine that, but just a little bit bigger. And that is the size of this forest for kilometers. Like, you can look in every direction once the shuttle lands, and there's just tree after tree after tree after tree. You actually also land in a clearing next to a river, and the river runs red like blood, but there's the scent of something that approaches either a rose, maybe mixed with some form of like a chicken ramen. So it's a very interesting smell.
Oh, interesting indeed.
But once you settle down and the back gives you the all clear that it's safe to disembark, when you step out of the shuttle, you also are hit with a light spring breeze. It's maybe somewhere in the 60s Fahrenheit, 20-something Celsius. So it's springtime, more or less. And you also hear the soft chittering of alien wildlife. And as you kind of look around, you'd actually see, if you pay really close attention, like way, way high up in the trees, you see things that look like maybe some kind of a squirrel mixed with a bass trout. It's very odd. It's like a fish squirrel thing. But you also see exotic birds with like two pairs of wings. You see these almost giant hummingbird creatures that sort of flit around and seem to act as some form of a predator because they're snatching these giant insects out of the air. And it's just if this was Starfleet, you'd be nerding out like, oh my God, this is so much stuff. But you all are Klingons, and I kind of want to just go around the table real quick and get everybody's feeling of, well, what do you think about this and what would you like to do first? So I'm going to go to Brigadier Croc. What are you thinking right now?
Do we have a small team with us at all? Like any scientists or small security group? How many people could
Couple
fit
of X.
on the little shuttle? Yeah.
I would say you have probably the four of you, the Beck who's going to stay with the shuttle, and then three more Becks that are kitted
Okay.
out with disruptors if need be. If you want more, we can always bring more.
No, you get that's
No,
perfect. I'm gonna order the other Becks to just set up a loose perimeter around the shuttle, because we have no idea what other types of wildlife may exist on this planet. And just don't leave it. Don't engage anything, but just keep their eyes open in case anything does appear to be hostile. And then if we've got some sort of like science equipment, I'm assuming we would have something to set up to try to get some sort of soil samples or environmental readings or something. I just kind of give some of the Becks the orders to keep an eye out and start setting up any equipment we might have.
All right, noted. Captain
And I'm
Dagon.
also just like staring into the tree line, just like if anything comes out, I'm ready. That's kind of my whole thing here.
Got it. Got it. All right. Captain Dagon, what do you got going on?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is fresh air. It's not recycled air, so it's like this is
Yeah.
it's refreshing. And then the second thing is keep an eye on well, actually, take out a tricorder and see if there's anything that radiates any energy or any larger
Oh, cool. Like power signatures, huh?
life. Yeah, big life forms. Something to hunt.
Life line.
All right. Yeah, we can do a roll for that one. If you want to give me a reason and engineering if you're looking for power signatures, or reason medicine
Yeah.
if you're looking for life signs.
I'll
Difficulty
go
zero
reason
on this
engineering for
one.
first. Difficulty zero. And can I use a focus?
Let me check your focuses. No, I don't think you have a focus that
Okay.
applies here, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay, well, that's okay. Roll dice. What does it
All
say?
right, two successes, giving you
Ooh.
two momentum. So
Nice.
what you're noticing is that there are no power signatures other than your shuttle and any of the other landing teams. You are able on your tricorder or your pad, whatever the Klingon equivalent thereof is, you are able to link up with other teams that have landed in this forest. But it's pretty much the equivalent of you landed like here, and then like 10 kilometers away is another party. So you are very far apart from one another.
Right. But there's nothing in between.
Nothing in between that you're detecting, at least as far as technology is concerned.
Right. Okay. Now, can I do one for bioscience?
Yeah, but let me quickly check. Is Donut back from laundry yet?
I am. It was most
Oh,
honorable.
then she could do it,
Beautiful. Look at
yes.
that timing.
Love it.
Oh,
Love it.
I was actually here for a little bit,
She came
but
in at the fish squirrel.
yeah, I
Nice.
came in around the fish squirrel. So yeah, Kanas would definitely be wanting to check out the life signs to see A, is anything hostile, but probably at a more like viral, microscopic, like that sort of level. And also too, enjoying the fresh air and being like, hell yeah.
Love it.
Nothing. Yeah, just kind of take, as I said, we're not going to be like geeking out over, oh, look, it's a fish squirrel, but more like, yeah. More of like a chill, like enjoying of, taking it all in. And then, yeah, just making sure, it's one thing to be against an enemy you can see and be on equal footing and fight honorably against, but if a little microscopic germ is going to take us down, we're not about that.
Fair enough, fair enough. If you want to give me a reason medicine and a difficulty of zero.
I sure will.
Another two success means another two
Finally.
momentum. Very nice. So,
And we get
good
our
news.
determination back, right? Just want to make sure I have everything
Yeah, everybody
right.
gets the determination back because this is a new session.
That's what I figured. Okay, cool.
So, what you're going to detect is that there are interesting microbiological things. Like you are detecting that there are obviously microbes that probably could do with further study, but on the surface, you're not seeing anything like a virus or anything of that nature which would cause an issue or mass quarantine. And of course, you being the CMO, if you want to mass quarantine everybody, that's still your prerogative.
I would not just not have for funsies not do that.
Fair enough. But what you are detecting, interestingly, is that the entire 10-kilometer area you're responsible for is teeming with fauna. What I mean by that is it's not just the fish squirrels. It's not just the massive insects. It's not just the wide variety of larger life forms that you aren't seeing right now, but your tricorder's picking up. It seems as if the trees themselves are at least somewhat interconnected and transferring data between one another. But it's a biological process. It's not like these are artificial trees that are transmitting, you know, like literal electrons to transmit data. This is more or less like a biological, almost like interconnected nervous system, if that makes any sense.
So is organic it like circuitry.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like organic circuitry.
Well, I was going to say, is it all like one tree? It's just like one life form, but it's just showing up as different pieces of it.
Would you like to spend a momentum to answer that question?
Ooh, well, considering I just got us some momentum, I'm going to say yes.
Ask okay. the trees how they're feeling.
So actually, yes, you know, following that, you know, thought, you kind of do a deeper scan. And yeah, every single tree is part of a larger organism.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
And I'll even give this to you since you spent the momentum. The largest organism that you're detecting so far, and if you were to, you know, ping back to the Hanasto and have them use their sensors, it would be something where the largest life form is within 5 kilometers of your landing site.
Well, that's not very handy.
So it's a bit of a trek. I mean, it is within your area of importance, but it is something you would have to trek out to go check out. Mm-hmm. All right. And last but not least, Colonel Mori, what are you thinking and what are you doing?
All right. So depending upon the outcome of all the biological surveys that we're getting, the records of honor need to be updated to reflect this glorious font of possible hunting grounds, or even better, understand where the most honorable was predator animals might be. So once we have, I guess, a good enough understanding of the tree network, it's time to start thinking like an interconnected species of trees. Get into their minds, think as they would, and try to use that as a way to correlate our little knowledge of the fauna and find where the food chain goes up. Where are the apex predators here? Mm-hmm. And how can we ensure that the mightiest warriors face them? So we're going to start documenting. We're going to go Jane Goodall with an attitude on this forest.
I just for posterity, I want to make a note here that the first time that the Klingons get to explore, they're like, we need to think like a tree, everybody. I want that. I want that edited into the record.
Do we?
Super good.
How else do we find the strongest except to know who is trying to feed off of and use the next strongest for a springboard?
Well, ironically, they say, you know thy enemy.
Right. It's true.
I mean, also, are the trees carnivorous? Because if so, we got some mighty
and
big,
really know our enemy.
Mighty honorable kills here. Well, maybe not honorable, but maybe tasty.
All right. So as you're all doing your various things, what you're noticing is that some of the other fauna that you haven't seen yet are starting to get a little curious about your landing site. And sort of around the trunk of trees, you see these almost like darting figures. They're not humanoid. They're more like raptors from Earth's past, where they're kind of just these large lizards that stand on the back two legs and have those like vestigial front ones. They're maybe about the size of a Shetland pony, though, so they're not very big. But you would see like one like poke its head out around a tree, and then anytime anybody makes a move, they just sort of flit away. You're noticing that there's also like these larger like capybara like creatures, like a capybara that's been mixed with like a stork. And you notice that this kind of like big chill bird is just kind of like wandering towards your ship. It's not like making any hostile movements. It's just kind of coming to check you out. And I would say that it's about the size of a Clydesdale, So it's a very large capybara bird.
Oh, wow.
Are they exhibiting any signs of sentience or socialization, either of these species?
Or they're just, like, chilling?
I would say that the capybara bird is definitely at least kind of tilting its head, and it's watching you in the backs, trying to get a feel for what you're doing. But it's definitely not, like, you know, telling you alien Shakespeare, if that makes any sense.
If it's curious, can I try to, I'm going to see how tameable this thing is, and if all goes well, maybe we could start grabbing and breeding them. Maybe they're tasty. Crew's going to need to eat.
We could use some more meat on the menu.
Do we just subjugate? Are they tox? Are they targs? Are they even more challenging? So it's time to start using that psychology focus on this birdbara?
You know what I like that? Birdbara. Yeah. We're going to make a note of that. All right. So to animal handle the birdbara, as it's now officially known, I would like you to give me a presence. And what would this be? I guess a presence and command. And you would have psychology as a focus. Let's make it a difficulty of 2.
All right. Got 3 momentum. Got it. Difficulty 2. Not going to have been... Actually, I don't know. What do you think? Should we invest some momentum? Maybe
sure.
It couldn't hurt.
Why not? You know what? What's the worst that can happen? The birdbara eats us?
No.
You just had to say that, didn't you?
That is probably the worst thing that can happen. But
if it can take down a Klingon warrior...
It deserves to eat us.
Yes, and it will serve as a font of honor. Let the record of honor know, and let songs be sung of whatever happens. So...
Successes there.
Hey,
you
how
go.
Good you yeah. did.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about how you're approaching the bird. Are you like doing the stereotypical Steve Irwin's thing where you're going, all right, Crocky, well, I'm going to get up right up close to it and I'm going to grab it by their tail or something? Like, what are you doing in terms of approach?
I have a team of singing lawyer underlings that are cataloging and doing stuff. We're going to put them to the test. I'm assuming that we got enough coordination, just hand signal and get them around, and we're going to just corral it. Gonna start approaching it with the usual blend of Klingon swagger and, you know, a little bit of mollification, but gonna get up to this birdbara.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna get up to the birdbara, and we're gonna try to find the equivalent of gruffing its neck and, like, getting it to, like, all right, come this way. I'm gonna get it to recognize us as dominant, I guess, as the ones in charge. See what happens.
Okay. Well, just like a capybara, when you start petting it, it just sort of chills there. It sits down and lets you pet it. And then when you motion for, it to follow you, it just kind of very lazily does, like it's not in any hurry. In fact, this is probably the most chill, least horrific, or least, what's the word I want, combative creature you've ever experienced as your Klingon history. Like, this is not an honorable hunt. This is not a creature of war. This is very much a, I'm just here, I'm vibing kind of creature.
Well.
Doctor, perhaps we should see if this one is gendered, and if so, how soon it can reproduce. It is not much so far, but we may have some fresh meat.
All right, well, we would, they would be interested in looking into further studies regardless. So yeah, you want to try to capture some of these?
We've already captured it.
How many do we have? Did we capture?
Just the one.
At least
just
one.
The one. Probably should have at least more than that, just in case there's any accidents.
How many can we fit on the shuttle with us? I guess?
Yeah, that's not
we gonna have to get another shuttle down here.
Yeah. You could probably fit 2 on the shuttle. It wouldn't be very pleasant with you being, shoulder to shoulder with everybody, but you could get 2 in there. Sure.
Oh, could we
2
send,
to beam
could
directly
send,
into the targ pens.
Well, I was gonna say, could we send 2 back with one of the Becks and then they come back with the shuttle? We don't all go back in with the capybaras. Is that what you meant, that we would?
No, I like that idea. I would say that if you're just sending the Becks back and they'll come back to pick you up.
Yeah,
you
I think that makes more sense to,
fit
you know,
4
kind
or 6.
Of. Okay, yeah, so let's get the 4-2-6, I guess. I don't know if that's the nature of rolling.
If I can't pick up its scent so we can go out
yeah,
and
yeah, I would definitely want to collect more than just one to bring back for further observation, because we never know what'll happen, and always good to have, you know, a variety of options.
Gotta find out what they eat so we can get them nice and juiced up.
Well,
imagine the foie gras on these things.
Kamas is just like, not sure that's what works, but okay. So yeah, I'm definitely for it. Can I like tell the gender of them, just so at least we're, you know, or any cases, like, are any of them pregnant or ovulate? Are these like mammals or birds?
Wow.
Nice.
Nice. I'm going to totally have to age gate this video, but that's okay.
We don't know how. Do we broil them? Do we braise them? Are they well marbled? Are they gaming?
Are they well marbled?
We've already brought back dry aged, like really aged targs
that's
from
true,
the time
really
portal.
Aged targs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these at least aren't time crimed, I hope.
Time crimed. I'm going to use that in the future. So I would say, Kanas, via your scans, if these creatures, if these bird bara conform to what you know of medical science, there's actually three genders, apparently. Like, there's a male, a female, and another. And it's also interesting because they appear to be slightly hermaphroditic. Hermaphroditic? I think that's the
hermaphrodite.
Right word. Hermaphrodite. That's hermaphrodite. What I want. Where they're actually able to change between those genders at will.
Lots of interesting research to be had. Definitely want to collect a couple of specimens. Yes, yes. And not just instantly eat them, she glares
so
at Maury.
They adapt to need, basically.
Right, interesting.
We're not going to eat them instantly. We have to breed them first. We need at least one or two generations,
also don't know the gestation period. We don't know how long it would take. Anyway, let's send them back and continue exploring. So, yes, do I have to roll to secure in the shuttle? Or
sounds like a project for the ship's cook anyway.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, we got to get science team in here first. You know, we got to, you know, we also have to make sure there's no, like, latent disease. Now, you know, we did roll a check that there were no, like, actual diseases, but that doesn't mean this stuff isn't poisonous to us.
It also, yeah, it doesn't mean it's completely edible.
It might not even taste good.
Right. It might not be yum-yum.
Yeah. We'll find out together down
the road.
We'll
find out together.
Right, yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to say that you are able to find and wrangle a few more bird baras, and you are able to get about five of them into the shuttle, and the Becks all pile in, and the shuttle takes off back up to the Hanasto. And what are you all doing while the shuttle is away from you all? Like, it's just the four of you in this massive forest. What are you all doing?
So now we have the scent of what's obviously some kind of prey animal, because it's not going predator on us. We now might be able to draw out the predators and start finding some honor.
I mean, I like that idea. The question is, how are you going to go about it?
Well, I was going to suggest, I was going to posit, do we have contact with any of the other groups on the planet to see if they discovered any sort of settlements or higher life forms that we may or may not have to worry about?
Like, yeah,
I want to check in before we get too wrangled up.
Okay. So you check in with the other teams in your area, or at least in this region of the planet, and nobody's found anything resembling ruins, a civilization. This is, as far as anyone can tell, an untouched planet.
And nobody else has encountered other bird bowers yet?
There actually are some reports that some of the other teams have actually engaged in quote-unquote honorable combat with the bird bara, but you know they're full of shit. You just wrangled the things. They're not honorable.
Right, sure.
And that some teams have already begun cooking and sampling the bird baras, so you'll probably find out if they taste good in due time. But one of the teams to your northeast, towards the same direction as that larger lifeform signature that you picked up earlier, they aren't responding to any check-ins. In fact, you hail them a few times. You even get the Hanasto to try and hail them. They are not responding to any hails.
Gotcha.
They've met with resistance.
To any hails. Perhaps and how far away are they?
They are 10 kilometers away, and as a reminder, the largest life form that you were detecting was 5 kilometers away, so it's kind of in between you and them. At least when you last scanned, anyway.
Well, we could do a little flyby and see on the way.
Wait, didn't we just send back the shuttle?
You did just send back the shuttle.
Oh,
we
did. Haha, just kidding,
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
We're going to have to hoof it.
Hoof it, as it were.
I mean, we could... How long is the shuttle going to be gone? What, they're going to drop off the little bird bars and then...
They're probably going to be gone for about an hour, so...
I mean, that's... Go. Yeah, we can... I'd say we could probably just wait for them, right?
Your call.
I don't know about walking through the woods. I mean, I guess we could walk and then you could get scans on, you know, the trees and stuff while we hoof it. And I guess if we want the shuttle to try to pick us up in a clearing somewhere on the way, mm-hmm. I guess we can deal with that as we go. But that way it gives you some time to scan some trees. They look big and strong. Maybe we can use the wood as some sort of a new kind of material of some sort.
Do we see any fallen trees or anything? Because if we know that the trees are all like one organism, I would be curious to see if there was any cases of that one organism shedding. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right word would be. Mm-hmm. But
well, shedding's a good word.
It lets scales off. Anything that's what am I thinking? Skeletons or remains, anything that's been preyed upon, evidence of the larger big boys.
Right. I would say
there's a larger big boy.
I would say that you actually, as you maybe wander about a little farther from the landing site, you do see that there are a few fallen trees. And first, you're not sure if it's just because they've been here a while or if they actually are hollow. But it's almost like looking through a pipe when you check out the end of this fallen tree, where it's almost like a miniature cave or a miniature tunnel that you could echo your voice through. And the interior is actually, again, teeming with life. There's bioluminescent mosses. There's small little creatures that resemble some form of a badger mixed with a skunk, which may actually be the same thing. I forget if a skunk is a badger.
No, not the same thing.
Not the same thing. All right. No. But you are noticing that there is yet another like microcosm just within this fallen tree.
Cool.
Was the tree hollow to start, or was it hollow because it got narrowed out by stuff?
Well, if you'd like to roll me a reason science at a difficulty of one, I can answer that question.
I can do that. This one.
Well, I have good news and I have bad news for you, but you do at least get one momentum. So there is that.
Hooray.
So what do you want first, the good news or the bad news?
Give me the bad news.
Bad news. That large life form that you detected earlier, it is approaching your area.
Oh.
The good news?
The good news is that maybe it's more like neutral news. Something hollowed out this tree. There used to be like wood in there, but something either dug it out, ate it. You're not sure what, but just judging by like the spiral pattern and the roughness of the tunnel walls, something bored through here.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'd say move back to the clearing, wherever we landed.
Yeah, I would not want to necessarily be in any enclosed space if there's something large coming.
Yeah, so we can move back to the clearing, wherever we landed, and prep for the possibility of something charging out of the tree line, for sure.
Nah, to hell with that. Let's stay in this jungle. It's hunting us. It thinks we're another.
Well, I don't mind being in a jungle. I just didn't want to be like in the like.
Oh yeah, no. Let's get out of the tree.
Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah.
We're not going to trap ourselves.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, let's.
But let's. Yeah, let's.
I do have a question. I don't recall if this was answered, but when we said largest life form, do we have any sense of scale or other than it big?
It big.
It big.
Okay, it big. So, okay, that's all.
All right.
Yeah, so if we're not, you know, I guess close enough to the clearing where the shuttle was, just move to some sort of clearing where we have better sight lines and are we capable of boxing it in a little bit if it charges our way.
Okay. So we'll say that you settle up. You're still next to the river, more or less. Again, that sort of blood red river. And you begin to hear something before you see anything. Mm-hmm. And it's very much a Jurassic Park feeling where it's a thud and the water ripples and another thud and the water ripples more. And you hear this massive roar. And within mere moments, you hear the sound of crashing and running. And emerging from the giant trees is something that you would have maybe read about or heard about in Earth history or Earth fantasy, where this is a massive reptilian creature, a dragon of sorts mixed with what could have been a T-Rex and maybe a mastodon at some point. Nice. So it's
wow.
It is a creature that is the size of one of your birds of prey. This is a huge creature.
Oh, lordy.
Wow.
And
have consummate V's.
Yes, many, many trogdors.
But is it knocking over trees?
Yes, it is knocking over trees.
Yeah, the size of bird of prey. Yeah, the trees are not so much being knocked over as they are toothpicked over.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... There is no shame in not fighting a superior enemy. This seems a little bit superior.
At least but not on foot.
I'm also actually going to spend 2 threat because it's about that time that your shuttle comes back down to try and pick you up. And right as the shuttle gets within the top of the tree line, this massive dragon mammoth creature jumps and snags the shuttle in one bite and begins crunching down and just tearing it apart.
Wow.
Yep. So yeah, that's a solid complication for sure. Yeah.
Take out the disruptors.
Yeah, and move back. Yeah, try to get some shots in. Call for, I guess,
orbital strike.
Yeah, Negvar. The Nokta. I guess
that's definitely above our pay grade on the floor.
Whoever's nearby and most precise.
Yeah, probably one of the Burrells.
Yeah,
we probably need both of them.
Yeah, they're super quick.
Birds of prey do atmospheric strikes.
They go transatmospheric, so yeah.
They do that all the time. We need both of them on this, just to be sure. And tell them to keep the high altitude.
Yeah, I think that would be I can do that. I'll call them, I guess, see what their locations are.
So let's actually move into a bit of structured combat here.
For sure.
So the first player move, a crack, do you want to make that call to get in fire support?
Yeah, definitely get in fire support, whatever the closest... closest ships are, being my location, and say that it's a really big dinosaur woolly mammoth thing that just ate one of our shuttles out of the air.
Okay. Give me a presence and a command at a difficulty of 2.
Copy. Presence, command, focus, leadership.
I'd give you leadership, sure.
Copy. I will use a momentum, go up to 3 die, just in case.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Yup.
3 successes, you get the momentum right back. So yeah, the captain of both the Vestarg and the Nutka report that they will be on station in a few short minutes, but that means you have to survive 2 rounds with this creature. Just gotcha. So you know. All right, so the creature, you know what? I'm just going to call them Bob for the time being instead of the creature. We're just going to call the creature Bob.
Hey, Bob.
So Bob is going to continue chewing down on the shuttle, and since none of you have started shooting at it, it's not like going to start looking at you menacingly, but just to give again a sense of size of scale, its eyes are probably like the size of 2 of you stacked end to end. And each of its fangs, like its actual maw, is like each is as large as you all. Each of you is maybe the size of 1 fang. And then the tusks and the horns that are coming off of this thing, those are probably the size of bird of prey wings. It's that big.
Wow.
So somebody wanted to know about the apex predator.
I think we found it.
I think we're looking at one, yeah.
We have found the source of honor.
Tell your underlings to jot this down in their next lyrics.
There will be no need to jot down. We will bring this beast back with us or die trying.
But yeah, since Bob isn't being actively attacked, Bob is just going to continue chewing the poor Bex that are in that remains of the shuttle.
Yeah.
But we now come back to the player side of things. Mori, Kanas, or Dagon, what would you all like to do?
I would like to continue not actively attacking Bob, for one. So, yeah, we already sent the, you know, the notification up. Does it look like Bob can see us?
Or... Oh, yeah. Bob has looked in your direction several times.
Bob knows we're here.
Who's the sharpest shot among us?
It's not me, I assure you that.
I think either me or you, if I had to guess.
Yeah, as a reminder, it is a control security at a difficulty 2 to do range stuff.
Yeah, I'm a 17 on that.
16. So we might want to spend some time aiming for the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, really aim for the eyes.
I would prefer not to, but you all can do you.
I think it's one of those, like, if you can prep, I guess, to aim for the eyes in case it becomes, you know, like, hostile to us, right?
Becomes?
Well, at the moment, like, we haven't agitated it, so keep backing away slowly.
Right. We haven't gotten
it. Yeah, it's
shuttle,
still eating the shuttle. So.
Yeah, like, it might be content munching on the shuttle.
Let it eat the shuttle as much as it wants to eat the shuttle and back away.
Okay. Yeah.
See how far away we can get before it starts to, you know, get full and notice new guys.
Fair enough. Oh, you know what? We should get them, at bare minimum, let's get downwind of it so it can't smell. Or is it upwind or downwind?
Well, I mean, it sees us, so... but I don't know how good its vision is. Like, it might see us, but it might be one of those things where it's like, if we don't move, it doesn't detect motion. I don't know enough about dinosaurs.
But also, keep looking in the eyes just to be safe in case it does the predator thing where if you turn and run, it just thinks you're prey.
Hmm. Yeah.
Just back off.
You know? Yeah, I think back off.
Walk away backwards. Huh?
Yeah, slowly back away and
keep eye contact.
Let it kind of consume our pals.
I mean, we're not saving them.
They're gonzo. That's all there is to it.
All right. So what I'm hearing is you all are beginning to back away while maintaining eye contact. Is that correct?
Yep.
We are not picking a fight with Bob, who is like 18 times bigger than us.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Yeah. In that case, I am going to roll a challenge dice for Bob. If I roll an effect, Bob is done with the shuttle.
Help.
Right.
Well,
so
that was the first round. Now this is the second round?
No. So this is still the first round. So Bob is going to take the remains of the shuttle and very much in a stereotypical like T-Rex fashion, it's going to kind of wrench its head to the side, shearing what remains of the metal and flinging the remains deeper into the forest, maybe knocking over some further trees. And then it's going to look at all of you, draw in a deep breath, and then instead of roaring like you might have expected, it actually unleashes fire breath across all of you.
Oh, no. Heck.
All right, we're waiting for that orbital strike.
Die for that tree.
You're trying to fucking rattle us. I'm done.
I've seen this. I've played this game. I actually have not, but I know this game. Doing it.
So I still do have to roll. Its target number is a 12, and I do have to get 2 successes here. So let me just... You know what? I'll give it one more die with threat, because that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And let's just sort of see what happens. All right, let's expand out that 40. It rolled a 6, a 19, and a 15, so only one success. So actually, the fire breath is right over your heads. It doesn't actually hit you. But the sense of heat, like the shockwave of heat that ripples over you, that would have probably cooked you in an instant if it hit you.
Ooh, okay. Right. Plasma breath.
Yep, plasma breath. It's fun. Ooh. But yeah, we now go to the top of round 2. Your bird of prey fire support will arrive at the end of this round.
Right.
So it is now the player's turn. Who among you would like to act?
Do we have anything to paint the target for the birds of prey to make it easier for them?
I mean, you do have comm badges. You do have that.
Can we slap a comm badge onto a disruptor pistol and turn it into a laser designator or something?
It would require some engineering, but you could quickly drill.
We have an
something.
Engineer.
Oh well, you know, it sounds like something challenging for me.
Yeah, can I yell to Kern to? I'll toss him my comm badge, like slap that to something so I can throw it in its mouth or something of the like.
Ooh, who's got the best throwing arm of us? Who plays Klingon baseball?
Would that still be a? Would it would be a?
Fitness
security? I don't know.
Probably
that
a fitness security or a daring or a control security. One of the two.
Yeah, so it's still 17 for me.
14?
That sounds like you then.
Yeah, it's if you can somehow slap my comm badge to something so that maybe I can throw it in the mouth or pin something to it just so it's easier for them to target.
I mean, if it. Well, I guess
seriously, how hard can it be hit? Hard to, you know, hit
it is the size of a barn.
Yeah, but I mean, if they can shoot at it from further away, if I can exactly designate the target, like I'm using, when you're firing like an orbital.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. But yeah, it's just you know, it's not really that necessary here. I mean,
well,
like,
here's the thing: if we designate a non-critical part of this thing and it keeps coming at us, it's going to be tough. If we designate its belly. That would be bad for it.
Well, I was going to say, if it gets it in the mouth, the head's pretty critical. So that's
right,
also...
Yeah, that's good... yeah.
You're basically sort of add a little bit here. To paint the target or get a targeting mark on it for the Bird of Prey, you're making it easier for the Bird of Prey to hit. Right now, they would be at a difficulty of 2 to hit it.
Right, we want to make sure, because this Bob is not messing around. That
I feel like making it easier for the Bird of Prey to hit this thing is way better than me taking a pot shot with a pistol, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
All right. So
this
I'm going to
basically assist you.
I can set it up. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me go to Kern here. So Kern, are you making a laser target designator? Are you just slapping a comm badge to a disruptor pistol with duct tape? What are you doing?
That's the first one.
Making a laser target designator. Yeah. All right. I need you to do me a daring engineering at a difficulty of 2, please.
All right, and I'm going to use the next one momentum for an extra dice. No objections?
No, at least one.
Absolutely not, brother. Go for it.
And then,
like maybe reverse engineering, maybe.
So
you're going to get your 2 successes, which is what you needed. But there's also a complication. Mm-hmm. So the complication is going to be that. Oh man, how mean do I want to be?
The laser designator has recoil.
We're Klingons, baby. Give it to us.
You know what? You make a fair point.
The wielder.
The battery on the tricorder ran out.
I got one shot at it. It was a bomb.
So what's going to happen is, Kern, you are able to make, or Dagon, you are able to make a laser target designator, but here's the problem. It is limited use. You get... 2 uses of it, and every time you use it, it will lower the difficulty of the Bird of Prey, the next Bird of Prey shot. But it's only 2 uses, and I'm actually going to spend 2 more threat to create the second complication that in doing so, this will render all of your other comm badges inert. Because if you have those comm badges active, they might interfere with the laser target designator.
Okay, wow.
I mean, that's fair, but...
All right, so get those communicators... Tell them everybody to turn their communicators off.
Actually, before we start, doing stuff, I kind of wanted to clear what I'd like to do in case it changes stuff up. I've got that coordinated efforts focus. Someone's got to be, like, the fire control person that says, all right, guys, we're going to begin designation, then we go inactive, blah, blah, blah. We're going to coordinate time on target on this thing. Make it like an artillery strike. So I don't know if that changes what's about to happen, but someone's got to be in charge of the operation.
No, I like it. I like it. And actually, real quick, I tell you what, why don't I give you guys about 5 minutes off screen to debate how you want to handle this? So let's go to an early break. We'll be back in about 5 to 10 minutes. Stick around, everybody.
All right. Sounds good.
Welcome back to part 2 of Session 6 of Star Trek Canasto. If you're just joining us, the players have landed on their very first Super Earth planet within the Seg-1 galaxy, and they have discovered an apex predator that resembles some cross between a dragon, a woolly mammoth, and a T-Rex, who we've affectionately named Bob because we have no originality when it comes to naming. The problem is that Bob is bearing down upon our intrepid away team. The bird of preys are coming to provide orbital bombardment, but the players have to provide a laser target designator in order for the bird of preys to have a good clean shot. So where we last left off, the players were debating what to do next. It is an open floor to the players. Who among you would like to act?
Yeah, I think our plan was, because the Burrells are arriving at the end of this round, if the targeter is done, I guess we're going to paint the target.
We're going to get a spread out.
Yeah.
You know, try to get on all four points of the compass around Bob, who I think, you know, we should rename Charlie because, you know, air support's coming after it. We should at least get around this guy, and our actions are not so much going to be to pin it to hurt it, but to keep it from moving, so that whoever's operating the designator has a easier track for it. We're going to try to at least coordinate. I'm going to at least stay on the horn with the birds of prey as they're coming in, keep them abreast of the comms blackout that'll happen after the use. Oh, one question about that: have we ascertained how long the communicators will be down after the designator's used?
They will be down for two rounds after the laser target designator has been used.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we gotta stay in visual range of each other, stay in touch, and just keep this, keep Charlie pinned down, stop him from moving too much, and we'll make our first attempt and reevaluate thereafter.
Yup. Yeah, so do we want to do the laser designator first, and then...
I mean, how should it, like, mechanically operate? ELH, I guess that's a question for you. Should I be trying to get the coordination down, and then we designate?
I mean, I think we should probably relay our plan first.
Yeah, because once you use the laser target designator, you can't hail the bird of prey for two rounds.
Right, so we're going to want to tell them what's going on first.
Yeah, I should probably go first and tell them what's up, get the plan down, make sure they've got everything... make sure they understand their role, they know where we're going to be. We can't pop smoke on this guy, so just keep an eye out for that radius, boys. What do I roll to make sure that everything's clear and ready to go?
I would say it's just a presence command, difficulty of zero.
Nice. Okay.
Let's see, I'm trying to see what else we got. Bloodline can do some stuff. Yep, commanding bloodline comes in, advised just not veteran. No, that'll even... Okay, command, presence. I'm not going to spend a momentum on this one. Coordinate efforts. Focus. Hell yeah.
You gotta be kidding. I think what's going to happen... Because you didn't roll a complication. So I think it's going to happen is you're able to get the very basics of the plan out before Bob roars loud enough that... It not only reverberates through the ground and reverberates through your bones, but you are momentarily, everybody is momentarily like, oh God, that sound, where you just can't hear anything. And it's just bad news all around.
Oh,
like a TIE fighter with a bullhorn. Lovely.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. That's a good
one. Okay. All right. So we got the best we can. Now it's up to the boys coming down from orbit.
All right. So, it is now Bob's turn, and if I understood what you all were doing correctly, you were spreading out in the four cardinal directions around it, so it can only really focus on one of you at a time.
Yeah.
Sounds good, yep.
So, I'm going to do the diplomatic thing. I am going to roll a d4 to make sure it is a totally random target, and we will go in order of what I see in the player list. So, one is Donut Kanas, two is Kern or Dagon, three is Mon Jan or Mori, and four is Steadfast Pig or a Croc. So let us see who is our lucky winner tonight. Well, it seems that Dagon, you are our lucky winner.
Winner in air quotes.
You got it, buddy.
So you're fine, you can do this.
I'm debating whether to use its teeth or its fire breath on you.
Okay.
Tell you what, I think it's going to be more interesting if it goes to try and bite you. So I'm going to roll it first to let you know what difficulty of daring security you're going to have to pass.
Yep.
All right, let's expand out that 24. 10 and a 14. So I'm going to need to see 3 successes from you on a daring security to not be bitten by this creature.
Take the momentum. We need everyone moving.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll take a momentum. Daring security. That's 3 dice.
Do you have any...
No, I don't have any focuses that involve dodging.
Also have determination.
You
remember.
Have any values?
That's true. You do have
surviving.
Determination.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of determination, but the thing is, it's an applicable focus there.
Right.
Well, it's a value, not a focus.
Value, yes. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, do you have any, like, don't die?
Right. No. Right. Not
choose life.
We're Klingons. Death. We don't do that.
Oh, well, I do have knowledge as a weapon. Use it wisely.
There you go.
Knowledge of teeth.
Yeah, my knowledge, not its teeth.
your knowledge of dentistry will allow you to...
I'll use my determination, and then I'll roll two.
Okay. So make sure to check that box that you're using using determination value, so it'll auto-calc for us.
Right. Boom.
All right, 3 successes, what you need. So, because this means you are the victor here, you do get a counterattack against the creature. That is a melee
laser
weapon.
Designator.
Gonads. The gonads.
That's okay.
I'll use the laser designator.
Well, it has to be a melee weapon. It can't be a ranged weapon.
Do not pistol whip this thing with what's going to blow it away.
Weapon. Okay. Well, shoot it with...
Actually, you know what? Amend to that, now that I think about it. If you want to give me 2 momentum to create the advantage that you can use the laser target designator, you can paint the inside of its mouth, and I would allow that.
Oh, I'll do that.
Yeah, but you're close enough to the mouth that bad things are going to happen to you when the orbital... When birds of prey come down and start shooting.
Hey, you know what? It's called hit my target.
It's true, yeah.
All right, so narratively, what's going to happen is Bob is going to come in with its tusks and is going to scoop you up underneath one of its tusks and throw you into the air. And what I'd like to imagine is that its maw opens up wide, and you still midair, tumbling upwards, you manage to wrench your body around and pull the trigger and begin painting the target for the birds of prey.
That sounds like very heroic of me to do
that.
That
is very honorable.
Yeah.
And Wile E. Coyote shit.
Maybe now, also a little Wile E. Coyote, but...
Here's the tricky part. Is the bird of preys each get 1 shot with the target designator. And because they are run by NPCs, I will be doing the main role for them. So between the two of you, or between the two birds of preys, let's take a look at them real quick.
I have a question before we start looking at bird of prey stuff.
Yes.
Okay, given that I was doing the whole presence command and coordinated efforts, does that count as me assisting the birds of prey?
You know what? I'd allow it, yes.
Then in that case, the birds of prey get to reroll 1d20 thanks to advisor.
Ooh, I love it. All right. Ooh, so let's take a look at the bird of preys. First, we have the Nutka. That Nutka, is your scientific bird of prey. It does a whopping 5 disruptor. It's 5 challenge dice worth of damage on its disruptors. Mm-hmm. But then if we look at the Vestarg, that is your shooty warship. It does 6 disruptor damage.
Nice.
So I'm going to guess that you want the Vestarg to shoot first.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
All right. So whoever is going to want to do the honor here, you are going to be rolling the Vestarg. It will be a weapons and a security. I'm going to spend 2 threat to... You know what? I'm actually going to spend all 3 threat to say that it is a difficulty of 2, even accounting for the target designation, and the complication range will be a 18 to 20. Now, the good news is the ship always has a focus.
Yeah.
So who among you would like to push the button?
I'm already there.
Yeah, go for it.
The honor.
Don't forget that one reroll.
Complication range is 3, I believe. Mm-hmm. Then, 2 dice. Boom.
That's nice. Exactly what you need. Very nice. So you actually get a momentum back, and if you wanted to, you could crit fish with that 14.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and roll me your disruptor cannon damage. So it's six challenge dice, or you can click little chevron next to disruptor cannon. Should roll it that way.
Close. Okay, disruptor cannons there. Boom. Boom.
All right, so that is 10 damage because it has vicious 1. Mm-hmm. And let me just check the creature. That is significant. Nice. So the Vestarg comes swooping in, not enough for the creature to, you know, jump up and grab it, but comes swooping in and unleashes kind of a series of disruptor blasts as, again, Dagon, you are still reaching the apex of the toss. And the disruptor cannon shots go right down into the gullet of this creature of Bob. And Bob...
I'm feeling the heat, as they say.
Exactly, yeah. And Bob, for its part, is going to, quote-unquote, swallow the disruptor shots. But it is going to roar in alarm and roar in distress and pain. And... it is actually going to remain standing, believe it or not, but you have done significant damage to it. Enough so that when you reach the apex of your toss, I'm going to give you the option. You can either land perhaps ungracefully or gracefully somewhere near the area you were tossed from, or you can end up in a tree. It's your call.
I'll go for the tree.
Actually, wait. Third option, you could land on the back of Bob if you really wanted to.
No. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that.
Imagine critically hitting with a target designee.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I'll be the target designator at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but the mental image would be really metal.
You're not going to be a Captain Strangelove.
Shoot me.
Shoot me.
Fire in my position.
So were you going for the tree then, if I heard correctly?
Yeah, the tree's.
Okay. So you end up landing with kind of a crunch. You land on one of the branches of the trees. Mm-hmm. You will take... let me actually roll damage here. You will take three stress damage as you land unceremoniously on this branch, but you're in no danger of falling off. So you've got that going for you. All right. Okay. So that is the player's turn. Actually, no, that was Bob's turn. So now we go back to the players. So, Akrak, Mori, Kanas, what are you doing?
Well, if he's still up in the tree, I'm guessing enough in the tree that we're not going to be doing any medical treatment, field medicine, anything at this stage. So, or that'll like in the tree, like, oh, you're 2 feet off the ground.
No, like they are like three or four stories up.
All right. So, that's what I would have done. So I think I'm just going to kind of keep the general plan of not be too stacked together.
Yeah, we got to keep it. If we keep it pinned down, now the person who's got to do the target painting has a fairly clear line of shot out of danger. If we keep this going, we'll finish this guy off with the next ion can.
I'll just like shout to the tree. It's like, we'll get you soon, I promise.
The tree responds, okay.
Then we all...
my adrenaline's already going here.
So I need one of you to give me an action, because we are in turn order here.
All right. Well, there's not much I can do to coordinate the next one, so I'm just going to... aim for whatever looks like a vital organ. I don't know if it's facing away from me, if I can get a shot at what an Achilles tendon might be on this thing. We'll do that. But let's aim to do some pain.
Okay. So, Colonel Mori, if you could give me a control and a security at a difficulty of 2, please.
Funsies. So, all right. How big are your gonads and how good can I see them?
Apparently you can see them very well.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
All right. What is your disruptor pistol damage? Let's take a look.
That's a 7.
Yeah, go ahead and roll your 7.
Yep, and we're not doing this to stun.
Okay, so it is lethal, so I do get a threat.
Yep.
So that's vicious 1, so that would be 8 damage. So you will again, we'll say you hit it in a vital area is how much I feel like drilling down. But you hit it in a vital area and it once again roars and flinches and kind of stumbles to the side. But believe it or not, still standing.
It's still not down.
But it hasn't moved. Holy That's moly. Important.
Yeah. However, now that you've acted, it comes back to Bob's turn. And Bob does not like getting shot in a sensitive area. So Bob is going to, you know, whirl and look at you, Maury. It's going to bring in a giant breath, and you know what's coming.
Fire.
Maury from Flambe.
Oh, dear. That's a 17. Oh, dear. That does not bode well. All right. That is enough to hit you. Let me double check its damage here. All right. So this is 5 challenge dice worth of damage. It could have been worse. It's only 5.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to roll it off Maury's sheet. And let me check. Does it have vicious on this? It has intense, which is interesting.
Ooh.
So what that's going to mean is the fire breath, the plasma breath, does not hit you directly onward to instantly vaporize you, Maury. But you can feel the pain of every neuron across every inch of your skin screaming in agony. As eventually you come out on the other side looking much more crispy than the way you went in. And because it is a lethal attack, you actually don't get your resistance on this. So that is enough to do you an injury.
All right. That's so bring it.
You are considered to be lethally injured. What that means is if you are not treated by the end of this scene, then you might have the chance of dying, just so everybody's aware.
With honor.
Yeah.
Well, it's in combat, so yeah.
Yeah. But that is Bob's turn. And by my count, we either have a Croc or we have Kanas to go next.
Yeah.
Well, I could start doing some medical stuff because I do have field medicine.
Is this one of those where I can grab...
Do the plan, Doctor!
Can I grab the... targeter from Dagon and get another shot in with the other bird?
It would have to be a thing where Dagon would have to throw the designator down from his tree point, but it is possible.
But why would I do that?
Don't do it. Stick to the plan. If he dies, he dies. This thing's got to come down.
That's it.
Don't give away our advantage.
I still got the designator. I can designate from the tree, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if the designator gets damaged, we have a lot more time to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess. I mean, yeah. You should probably try to heal him up, because I mean, if I shoot at it, then it'll probably attack me next. Which.
I mean, it would draw the attention away from the doctor and Maury.
Yeah, I guess.
Nope, mission comes first. Nope.
Might go to finish the prey, but I mean.
Well, hold up a second. End of scene, is that like the end of this coming round of combat, or
is no? It is the end of whenever we cut away from this scene. So you will have a little bit of time, but in at least in terms of combat things, if I were to hit you with another attack, you would be donezo. If that makes any sense, but I'd have to be really mean and spend threat to do that.
Sure.
It is a Klingon game, so we could, but...
No, I am totally not afraid of Colonel Maury going down in this way. It was how much stress did I take? 5?
You did take 5 stress.
Yeah, 5. Yeah.
I mean, yes, honorable, but I also... You also have a field medic here, so...
Yeah. Hold up a second. Does Maury outrank Kanas?
No.
Damn.
We're not doing...
I mean, I can do, like, the aim...
Colonel and Captain is the same rank. Yeah.
I can do like the aim minor action and then just try to take a shot at its eye to really piss the thing off so that it looks in my direction.
I mean, what more or less can we do at this point?
Right. I mean, we pissed it off. Can't really do anything. It's mad and we have what we have to deal damage with. So it's just kind of a holding pattern until we get to Dagon being able to mark it again. So
yeah, the next round of pew pew.
Yeah.
All right. Seems like you're our lucky winner.
Yeah, I guess I'll aim, because that's just a minor action, right?
Minor action aim, which means you can reroll a d20.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And it would be a control security at a difficulty of 2, and I'd actually give you battlefield management as a focus here.
Gotcha, okay.
Ooh.
Very nice. I'll give you a threat, I guess, to go up to 3 die.
Okay, I will always take threat.
And yeah, I guess control security using the focus up to 3 die and
boom.
We'll see what happens.
Ooh, three successes. You actually get a point of momentum back.
Cool.
How much does your disruptor do? 8. All right.
Yep.
Roll me that 8 challenge die. Let's see what happens.
All right.
I'm just confirming one thing. The GM would like to hint that if you were able to do just a little bit more damage.
Right. Yeah.
So re-roll, spend a momentum to re-roll 3 of your dice.
I'm going to definitely do that to re-roll 3 of them.
Very good.
So, Crack, why don't you describe your kill for the rest of the party?
Seeing Mori go down and it, I guess, looming menacingly and they gone up in a tree, I'll just kind of, it just did like the fire breath thingy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with its open mouth, I'll see that I have a chance there, and I'll just kind of run to get an angle and fire it kind of just like straight up through its mouth, like through the soft, meaty part of its inside
mouth.
Down the gullet. Right, just kind of like straight up the top of the head, and it just kind of out the top.
Aim for the brain, the fun way.
Splattering brain juices up towards Dagon's tree for sure.
Brain juice.
Oh, well,
nice. The brain juice is so much that it just gets over everybody. Like the entire clearing you're in is just coated with this black viscous substance.
Even better.
But the creature doesn't even give out a roar because you pierced its brain. The entire creature, Bob, just sort of shudders and then falls to its side on the ground, limp and dead. And I should note that when it crashes to the ground, again, you all feel it. Even you, Dagon, in the tree, feel it hit the ground. It's that heavy.
Nice. So, but we've got meat for supper.
Yeah.
It's at this point, though, that
glorious Klingon yell.
Yeah. So it's at this point that after your glorious Klingon yell that your comm badges come back on, and the captain of the Vestharg is going... this is the Vestharg. Please, away team, come in. Are you there?
We are. The creature has been slain.
Very good. Do you wish us to remain on station to provide fire support?
Yes, shuttle would be good as well, please.
Fire support and medical attention.
Roger that. We are sending a shuttle with medical personnel as well as... My God, you actually killed that thing. Well done.
A medical attention and the finest butchers in the fleet.
Roger that.
We'll have to find a way to get this back up.
Well, you cut it into smaller pieces and bring it up.
But in the meantime, how long will it take the shuttle to get down here?
Long enough that you probably want to do your first aid.
I was about to say, let me
yes,
start
please.
Stabilizing.
I'm going to climb down from the tree and go to the river and wash off a bit.
Good idea.
Because I've got that black ichor on me.
Everybody has the black ichor on them. Everybody.
That's it.
That's great.
Yeah, Maury's just got a stare in Crispy.
But Kanas, if you are treating Maury, this is a daring medicine at a difficulty of 1.
Right, and does field medicine kick in, or was that taken into account?
Field medicine is, remind me, put it in chat.
I will put it in chat.
Difficulty with yes, that would account for field medicine. Because you, as a medical personnel, you always have a medical kit unless I take it away from you.
Med kit.
I was on push to talk, so I was talking to nobody.
Nice.
What was it again? Reason medicine?
Daring medicine.
Daring medicine. That's why. Okay. Cool.
Not delay with aesthetics, Doctor.
And I was enjoying the silence.
And does my focus... Well, I guess focus doesn't matter if I'm not rolling determination. So.
Well, no, I mean, if...
that's fine. I hit it too soon. We got 2 successes. Wow. We're good.
Well, yeah, that's you're good. So you actually get a point of momentum back. So, yeah, you are able to patch up Maury. Maury, you're in no longer danger of dying. But you probably are going to have some cool burn marks unless you want to go through dermal regeneration.
Very much no.
Hell no.
No. I want all all the singing lawyers had damn well better be taking notes. Actually, they better be taking notes of this entire thing. This is the most honorable possible so far.
In the meantime, are we going to try to slice up dinner off this dino?
That was going to be my next question. Is Bob is large enough that theoretically you could tractor beam it out of here and take it back up to the ship? But I will also sort of plant the seed that you could just simply land some tables and set up a grand sort of feast next to the carcass. Yeah, next to the carcass if you wanted to.
Nice.
I think if we do that, we'll still have enough left for a
There'll be plenty to go back to study and poke so at.
I think we should invite the command crew of the Vestarg, since they
did put a great blow on them.
The gunners should have, you know what, we should yield right of the first cut to the gunners.
Yep, sounds right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, let me generate a name here, because I don't think I've actually named any of the crew on the Vestarg, so let me generate some names. Yeah. Let's see. So that'll be her name. So the captain of the Vestarg shall be named Ganem Jaka. And I'll put it in chat so we can all see it. So she's the captain of the Vestarg. And then the gunner that was responsible for that lovely shot will be Norik Nagaza. And I'll also put that in chat. All right. So what happens is by the time the shuttle comes down and more shuttles come down to help take away some more creatures, clean up the area, the whole nine yards, you are able to set up basically a grill pit with a very large bonfire in the middle of this clearing next to the river. You've been able to clean yourselves of the ichor, unless you really wanted to keep the ichor on you for some reason. But Captain Jaka kind of actually walks up to you directly, Dagon, and Ooh. Also walks up to you, Mori, and makes it a point of shaking each of your hands before she says, I have not seen a creature of this make in, well, my entire service with the Empire. I believe that it is your honor to name such a creature.
Oh, great.
We must have a name that reflects the noble honor of this beast and how well it fought, yet how well it fell before the finest warriors that the galaxy has yet seen. What was it? I don't know. Out of character, should we just like find a good in-character Klingon reason to name Bob? I don't know.
I mean, that might be what
Look,
you do.
Look, that's not the worst idea I've heard today.
Yeah.
I still think that Charlie's appropriate, but you know what? That's just.
I'm actually going into the Klingon English dictionary.
Oh yeah,
nice. Hey, yeah.
So that I can. I'm thinking fire breath and translate that into Klingon.
Fire Bob.
Fire. Well, yeah, Bob, I don't think they have Bob breath. There. I mean.
Robert Flame Breath.
Translate.
Robert
okay.
Flame Breath.
Oh wow. I'll spell it. Oh, actually, here. Let me put it in the chat there. And then we go here. Nope. Here. There we go.
Let's see.
Records
it,
of honor.
It's always the H that trips me up when it comes to Klingons. Gui. Yeah. Okay.
Gui. Ja. I think it's got like that.
Gui. Yeah.
Gui.
Gui. Ja.
Yeah. I got to get that uvula in it.
Okay. Yeah. Let me make a note of that then. So yes, you you name it the Guicha, and Captain Jaka says, this is a fine name. I like it quite well. But let me introduce my gunner.
Glad you approve.
I'd like to introduce my gunner to you all, the one responsible for that lovely shot that was perhaps mm-hmm. instrumental in bringing the creature down. And the captain brings forth Norik, or Nagaza. And what you're going to notice is that Nagaza is like Alexander Rozhenko age, so he's a young Klingon.
A young pup.
Like, he is just your bog standard Beck that has just signed on. This is his first assignment. And
wow.
He
and
is,
boy howdy.
He's very much like, he's excited. You can tell that he's still pumped up. And he's also very much aware that you all are like the bigwigs aboard the Hanasto. So there's a lot of nervousness in him, but he tries to work past that and goes, sirs, madam, thank you for giving me the opportunity to earn some honor in this regard. I hope that I was able to be of assistance to you.
Real quick, is like he House Nagatsa, or is that just like a given name total?
That's just his given name. We can actually add him to a house if you want.
Yeah. Nork Nagatsa. Of what house do you hail?
You know what? I think it's interesting if he's not from a house. So he's going to say, I am a free agent, as it were, sir. I do not belong to any of the major houses or minor houses aboard the Hanasto.
Hmm. The Nork Nagatsa.
Should you form a house, its first great deed shall be the one that you have accomplished today. As we hung in midair and in the scourge of the breath of the Guicha, it was your fine shot right down its throat that began its death knell on this day. I shall see to it that all records of honor speak highly of this.
Gonna get your own sea shanty.
Glory to you, Nork Nagatsa, and to the Guicha that you have slain. You should have an all honorable first cut of this great beast. And I'm gonna hand him my batleth with which to take the cut.
Alright, and he raises the batleth above his head and goes, kapla! And then he goes over to the beast, and he is going to attempt to roll to cut it open. So let's see how well he does.
Oh, good job,
buddy.
That's a good sign. 11 and 13. Yeah, he's good. So
does he cut off some tenderloin there?
Yeah, actually, it's even better. He cuts off prime rib. He cuts off the good stuff.
Right through a rib in this thing.
Very honorable cut. I approve.
Prime rib is probably about as thick as us.
Yeah, probably. But he slices off
I prefer the sirloin there.
The sirloin, there you go. But he slices off a chunk of meat, and everybody cheers. He begins passing off chunks of meat to the cooks who have come down from the Hanasto. And you all just sort of have a grand feast next to this corpse. And as a point of order, when you actually bite into the Guicha, it's somewhat between like a crab and I don't know if any of you have had Wagyu before, but very, very rich, very tender meat. So somewhere between a crab and a Wagyu.
Oh my God, you're making me honestly hungry here. this sounds like it tastes mad honorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as you all begin to feast and celebrate and enjoy your kill, one of you, let me see, who among you has the highest? Croc, as you are feasting and enjoying the revelry, you notice that there is some movement in the tree line. And it's kind of hard to pick out because at this point night has fallen. The lighting is provided by the Vestarg, who has landed. And they've also set up some torches, as is Klingon tradition. But there is something moving out there in the tree line. Something vaguely humanoid?
Okay. I'll turn to, I guess, the nearest person near a light fixture of some sort and be like, light, that way, go! Get someone to shine a light in that direction.
Okay. So you shine a light in that direction, and what you see is that the shrinking away from the light, but not like full-on sprinting away, are small versions of the Guicha. But they are about the size of a bird bar rather than the gigantic mother that you just killed.
Oh well.
I'll inform the squad. How many of them are there?
There's about three.
I'll inform the squad. I'll point it out to everyone. I'm like, appears that one had children. You wish to take one for testing? Study? That's, I guess, Tamori or Kanas, either one.
I don't know if we want to particularly pick another fight. We don't know if there's a Papa
It will grow, and we will return, and it will be glorious.
So you do not wish which one to study?
I'm okay with not, because, like, they're kind of big and mean, for lack of a better term. And yeah,
I'll keep an eye on them.
Yeah, they keep an eye on it. Like, and I guess going forward, we're going to keep an eye on this planet, too. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not
planning on putting
up footholds.
Yeah,
so we don't need to kill them now. But
yeah, game preserve.
Yeah, we'll let them kind of hang out. But if, you know, I'll just keep an eye on them, I guess.
Got it. So interestingly, as part of your celebration, you do get word back from the Hanaso. It seems that you were unique in your experience. You were the only away team to encounter such a creature as this. But now that you know what to look for on the sensors, it does appear that the Goicha are all native to the northern continent, which means that if you were to set up a foothold here, you would have to do it within the southern continent for some measure of safety. Now, of course, if you want to go full Jurassic Park and set up something in the northern continent, that's your prerogative. But mostly for my notes, do you wish to set up a foothold here?
No, we'll make it a hunting reserve.
Yeah, I would say in the north, definitely.
I wouldn't want to set up like a, you know.
Yeah.
An outpost.
I was going to say dino buffet, but yeah, we do not want a dino buffet.
We should take the note to, I guess, in the morning, attempt to find the lost patrol's last known location.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
They probably died of this thing, so we can find bodies or something.
In our butchery, did we get into the stomach?
There were some remains of Klingons and bits of the shuttle that they came down in. Yeah,
gotcha.
You found
that's
them.
Okay.
We could have also seen bits of the shuttle that we watched them eat as opposed to the one we didn't watch them eat.
Yeah. Well, for sake of argument, there's enough metal and enough dead Klingons in the stomach that you can account for all that were lost.
All right.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Well, yeah.
So at least we know they died in combat, so.
Honorably.
True. Yep. Honorably, for sure.
But yeah, I think with that, that is where we're going to end the session as you continue to feast upon the Goicha. And we'll draw today's session to a close. What did you guys think? I know that was obviously more combat oriented.
That was different, but yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
A little more hair raising.
Yeah, did not expect fire breathing death dino. That was a new one.
Yeah.
But what a hell of a takedown.
As I was telling Donut over the break, this is an actual creature that is in the core rulebook, and I'll put it in Discord just so you can see what its stats are. For anybody at home or anybody watching the VOD or on stream, this is in page, I believe it's 342 within the Starfleet core rulebook.
The Berengarian
Dragon. Obviously, it says in its stat block that it's over 200 meters in length. I have shrunk it down just a wee bit, because otherwise that would be ridiculous. But I kind of looked at that stat block, and I'm like, I got to throw this at the Klingon games eventually. I got to do it. So
yeah, definitely. I definitely fit very well.
Yeah.
Did not expect to fight a land-based bird of prey ever. But you know what? That's exactly what
it probably
would
have felt
like.
And had we taken another direct flame breath, that would have been donezo.
Yeah, that would have not been good. And for a while I was debating, do I make this like the kid and make the papa the really big one?
The 200 meter one.
Sure.
But no, I didn't want to go that far. But yeah, like I said, I thought that was an amazing session. It felt like everybody had something meaningful to contribute. I love it.
Yeah, that was fun. Absolutely.
So Twitch stick around because we're going to raid somebody. But YouTube, this is where we'll say goodbye. Bye, YouTube.
Bye, YouTube. Bye.